Medical Ministry, Section 14, Teaching Health Principles, The Gospel of Health. The principles of health reform are found in the Word of God. The Gospel of Health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the Word. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great effort to proclaim the gospel message. Our physicians are to be God's workers. They are to be men whose powers have been sanctified and transformed by the grace of Christ. Their influence is to be knit up with the truth that is to be given to the world. In perfect and complete unity with the gospel ministry, the work of health reform will reveal its God-given power. Under the influence of the gospel, great reforms will be made by medical missionary work. The first work. If we would elevate the moral standard in any country where we may be called to go, we must begin by correcting their physical habits. Virtue of character depends upon the right action of the powers of the mind and body. Educate in the laws of life. God's blessing will rest upon every effort made to awaken an interest in health reform, for it is needed everywhere. There must be a revival on this subject, for God purposes to accomplish much through this agency. Present temperance with all its advantages in reference to health. Educate people in the laws of life so that they may know how to preserve health. The efforts actually put forth at present are not meeting the mind of God. Drug medication is a curse to this enlightened age. Educate away from drugs. Use them less and less, and depend more upon hygienic agencies. Then nature will respond to God's physicians: pure air, pure water, proper exercise, a clear conscience. Many might recover without one grain of medicine if they would live out the laws of health. Drugs need seldom be used. It will require earnest, patient, protracted effort to establish the work and to carry it forward upon hygienic principles. But let fervent prayer and faith be combined with your efforts, and you will succeed. By this work, you will be teaching the patients, and others also, how to take care of themselves when sick, without resorting to the use of drugs. The science of self-denial. Should all the sick be healed by prayer, very few would improve their opportunities to become acquainted with right ways of eating, drinking, and dressing. Those connected with our sanitariums should realize the duty resting upon them to give the patients an education in the principles of healthful living. The sick have their lesson to learn. They must be denied those preparations of food that would retard or prevent their recovery to health. They must learn the science of self-denial, eating simple food prepared in a simple way. They should live much in the sunlight, which should find its way to every room of the building. Lectures on health topics should be given. These lectures will open the blinded understanding, and truths never before thought of will be fastened on the mind. Counsel to a sanitarium physician. In the night season, I was talking with you. I had some things to say to you on the diet question. I was talking freely with you, telling you that you would have to make changes in your ideas in regard to the diet to be given those who come to the sanitarium from the world. These people have lived improperly on rich food. They are suffering as a result of indulgence of appetite. A reform in their habits of eating and drinking is needed, but this reform cannot be made all at once. The change must be made gradually. The health foods set before them must be appetizing. All their lives, perhaps, they have had 3 meals a day and have eaten rich food. It is an important matter to reach these people with the truths of health reform. But in order to lead them to adopt a sensible diet, you must set before them an abundant supply of wholesome, appetizing food. Changes must not be made so abruptly that they will be turned from health reform instead of being led to it. The food served to them must be nicely prepared, and it must be richer than either you or I would eat. I write this because I am sure that the Lord means you to have tact in meeting the people where they are, in their darkness and self-indulgence. As far as I am concerned personally, I am decidedly in favor of a plain, simple diet. But it will not be best to put worldly, self-indulgent patients on a diet so strict that they will be turned from health reform. This will not convince them of the need of a change in their habits of eating and drinking. Tell them the facts. Educate them to see the need of a plain, simple diet, and make the change gradually. Give them time to respond to the treatment and the instruction given them. Work and pray, and lead them along as gently as possible. How to present the principles of healthful diet. The Lord desires every minister, every physician, every church member, to be careful not to urge those who are ignorant of our faith to make sudden changes in diet, thus bringing them to a premature test. Hold up the principles of health reform and let the Lord lead the honest in heart. They will hear and believe. The Lord does not require His messengers to present the beautiful truths of health reform in a way that will prejudice the minds of others. Let no one place stumbling blocks before those who are walking in the dark paths of ignorance. Even in praising a good thing, it is well not to be too enthusiastic, lest you turn out of the way those who come to hear. Present the principles of temperance in their most attractive form. Lead the people. We must not move presumptuously. The laborers who enter new territory to raise up churches must not create difficulties by attempting to make prominent the question of diet. They should be careful not to draw the lines too closely. Impediments would thus be thrown on the pathway of others. Do not drive the people. Lead them. Preach the word as it is in Christ Jesus. The Health Journal will help you to learn not only how to prepare healthful food and how to give treatment to the sick, but also how to instruct others in these lines. Workers must put forth resolute, persevering effort, remembering that everything cannot be learned at once. They must have a fixed determination patiently to teach the people. Wherever the truth is carried, the people should be given instruction in regard to the preparation of healthful foods. God desires that in every place the people should be taught by skillful teachers how to utilize wisely the products that they can raise or readily obtain in their section of the country. Thus, the poor, as well as those in better circumstances, can be taught to live healthfully. Labor lost without instruction. It is labor lost to teach people to go to God as a healer of their infirmities unless they are educated to lay aside every wrong practice and cease to indulge perverted appetite. They must be taught to use the provisions God has given. To refuse the remedies which they may as well have as not without paying a doctor's fee, to neglect to let into every room in the house God's pure air and sunshine, shows a lack of faith in Him. Faith in God's power to heal infirmities is dead unless the one diseased improves the light God has given him by bringing his habits into harmony with right principles. Educate, educate, educate. We must educate, 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 pleasantly and intelligently. We must preach the truth, pray the truth, and live the truth, bringing it with its gracious, health-giving influences within the reach of those who know it not. As the sick are brought into touch with a life-giver, their faculties of mind and body will be renewed. But in order for this to be, they must practice self-denial and be temperate in all things. Thus only can they be saved from physical and spiritual death and restored to health. When the human machinery moves in harmony with the life-giving arrangements of God, as brought to light through the gospel, disease is overcome and health springs forth speedily. When human beings work in union with the life-giver, who offered up his life for them, happy thoughts fill the mind. Body and mind and soul are sanctified. Human beings learn of the great teacher and all upon which they look ennobles and enriches the thoughts. The affections are drawn out in gladness and thankfulness to the Creator. The life of the man who is renewed in the image of Christ is as a light shining in darkness. Deeds of Ministry. To teachers in our schools, to ministers and physicians and nurses, I would say, if you will, you can succeed in revealing the truths of the third angel's message. This will not be done merely by preaching the word, but by the deeds of loving ministry. It is the Spirit of the Word that we so greatly need. Those who have the Spirit of Christ will work His works. I have been instructed to refer our people to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Read this chapter carefully and understand the kind of ministry that will bring life into the churches. The work of the gospel is to be carried by means of our liberality as well as by our labors. When you meet suffering souls who need help, give it them. When you find those who are hungry, feed them. In doing this, you will be working in lines of Christ's ministry. The Master's holy work was a benevolent work. Let our people everywhere be encouraged to have a part in it. Teach self-denial. The work you have been doing in the cities is meeting heaven's approval. What you have done demonstrates that if our physicians and our ministers can work together in the presentation of truth to the people, more can be reached than could be influenced by the minister laboring alone. Present before the people the need of resisting the temptation to indulge appetite. This is where many are failing. Explain how closely body and mind are related and show the need of keeping both in the very best condition. The health talks which you give in the meetings will be one of the best ways of advertising our sanitariums. Abstinence and health. The minds of the suffering ones must be led to grasp the hope of deliverance from special peril. Speak to them hopeful words, words of courage. There are those patronizing our sanitariums whom the Lord will heal if they will abstain from the use of liquor and drugs and will use simple and safe remedies to counteract disease brought on through perverted appetite. If they will act their part to break the spell of the enemy by firmly resisting temptation and will surrender themselves to the one who gave his life for sinful souls, they will become sons and daughters of God. All who indulge the appetite, waste the physical energies, and weaken the moral power will sooner or later feel the retribution that follows the transgression of physical law. Christ gave his life to purchase redemption for the sinner. The world's Redeemer knew that indulgence of appetite was bringing physical debility and deadening the perceptive faculties so that sacred and eternal things could not be discerned. He knew that self-indulgence was perverting the moral powers, and that man's great need was conversion, in heart and mind and soul, from the life of self-indulgence to one of self-denial and self-sacrifice. Christ's victory, a lesson for us. Christ entered upon the test upon the point of appetite, and for nearly 6 weeks resisted temptation in behalf of man. That long fast in the wilderness was to be a lesson to fallen man for all time. Christ was not overcome by the strong temptations of the enemy, and this is encouragement for every soul who is struggling against temptation. Christ has made it possible for every member of the human family to resist temptation. All who would live godly lives may overcome as Christ overcame, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That long fast of the Savior's strengthened him to endure. He gave evidence to men that he would begin the work of overcoming just where ruin began, on the point of appetite. Responsibility of physicians and ministers. We need the influence of the right example of our physicians and our ministers. Let them exercise their powers for the control of appetite, that mental and moral powers may be strengthened. As far as possible, Let them adopt such habits of life that the physical and mental powers shall be equally taxed. The exercise of the voice in speaking is a healthful exercise. Teach and live carefully. Hold firmly to the position that all, even our leading men, need to exercise good common sense in the care of their health, securing equal taxation of the body and the brain. Hygienic restaurants as schools. Interested workers will be led to offer themselves for various lines of missionary effort. Hygienic restaurants will be established. But with what carefulness should this work be done? Every hygienic restaurant should be a school. The workers connected with it should be constantly studying and experimenting, that they may make improvement in the preparation of healthful foods. In the cities, this work of instruction may be carried forward on a much larger scale than in smaller places. But in every place where there is a church, instruction should be given in regard to the preparation of simple, healthful foods for the use of those who wish to live in accordance with the principles of health reform. And the church members should impart to the people of their neighborhood the light they receive on this subject. Instruction in homes and in schools. In San Bernardino, Dr. Blank has found many openings for educational work. About 3 months ago, she began to conduct studies in cooking, healthful dress, and general hygiene with some of the families of our own church. She was assisted in her work by some of the helpers from the sanitarium who were able to give practical demonstrations in healthful cooking and in simple nursing. Neighbors were invited to attend these demonstrations, and some who were present by invitation requested that similar studies be given in their homes, to which they might invite some of their friends. Thus, the work grew rapidly until Dr. Blank was unable to respond to all the requests she received. Her work was brought to the attention of the Superintendent of Public Schools, and at his invitation, she gave health talks before as many as 1,500 children in the schools of the city. Her cooperation with the Women's Christian Temperance Union has enabled her to become acquainted with many excellent ladies. Such efforts as these are powerful factors in removing from the minds of many the prejudice that exists against our people. Cooperation with other temperance workers. We should do all in our power to cooperate with heavenly agencies for the promulgation of truth and righteousness in the earth. We cannot do a better work than to unite, so far as we can do so without compromise, with the WCTU workers. Years ago, we regarded the spread of the temperance principles as one of our most important duties. It should be so today. Our schools and sanitariums are to reveal the power of the grace of Christ to transform the life. They should be important factors in the temperance cause. Educate the poor. Questions in vision were asked as to the advisability of educating others to supply the place of meat and tea and coffee with a more healthful diet. Should we make known our methods and thus cut off from ourselves the benefits we might receive in establishing the trade in the colonies? Should we give away the science of how to make these healthful foods? Should we teach the poor people how they can live without using the flesh of dead animals? Should we teach the poor people who come into the truth how to plant and raise nuts, how to produce for themselves those things which would cost too much if they bought them prepared by other hands? Should we teach them how to prepare these foods for themselves? The voice of wisdom. These seemed to be important questions and hard to solve. Then the voice of wisdom was heard. The subject of health reform is a great subject, an important subject. And this missionary work is to be carried into the highways and byways of life. The third angel's message is present truth for 1898, and the health question is as closely connected with that message as the arm is with the body. Therefore, light must be given as to the best methods of introducing health reform. Meat is the greatest disease breeder that can be introduced into the human system. But you cannot teach health reform unless you present the most inexpensive methods of living. The enemy must have no advantage in any line. The Lord can only bless those who are keeping every precept He has given in relation to this life. Purpose of health food work. According to the light given me of God, the food business should be carried on for the purpose of educating people to live healthfully and economically, not for financial gain. Each one should learn what foods are best adapted to his own necessities. Like the manna. The light that God has given and will continue to give on the food question is to be to His people today what the manna was to the children of Israel. The manna fell from heaven, and the people were told to gather it and prepare it to be eaten. So, in the different countries of the world, light will be given to the Lord's people, and health foods suited to these countries will be prepared. The members of every church are to cultivate the tact and ingenuity that God will give them. The Lord has skill and understanding for all who will use their ability in striving to learn how to combine the productions of the earth so as to make simple, easily prepared, healthful foods which will take the place of flesh meat, so that the people will have no excuse for eating flesh meat. The Lord will teach the obedient. In grains, fruits, vegetables, and nuts are to be found all the food elements that we need. If we will come to the Lord in simplicity of mind, He will teach us how to prepare wholesome food free from the taint of flesh meat. Instruction in the art of cooking. We need a genuine education in the art of cooking. Form classes where you may teach the people how to make good bread and how to put together ingredients to make healthful food combinations from the grains and the vegetables. Such an education will assist in creating a desire among our people to move out of the cities, to secure land in the country, where they can raise their own fruit and vegetables. United action necessary. It is the Lord's design that in every place men and women shall have the privilege of developing their talents by preparing healthful foods from the natural products of their section of their country. No man is to forbid them. If they look to God, exercising their skill and ingenuity under the guidance of His Spirit, they will learn how to prepare natural products into healthful foods. Thus, they will be able to teach the poor how to prepare foods that will take the place of flesh meat. Those thus helped can in turn instruct others. Such a work will yet be done. If it had been done before, there would today be many more people in the truth than there are, and we should have had many more who could give instruction than we have. Let us learn what our duty is, and then do it. We are not to be dependent and helpless, trusting in human beings. Incentives to activity. Some may say, if the Lord is coming soon, what need is there to establish schools, sanitariums, and food factories? What need is there for our young people to learn trades? It is the Lord's design that we shall constantly improve the talents He has given us. We cannot do this unless we use them. The prospect of Christ's soon coming should not lead us to idleness. Instead, it should lead us to do all we possibly can to bless and benefit humanity. No idler is guiltless in the Lord's sight. Bible religion never makes men idlers. We believe that Christ's coming is near. Then let everyone make the most of his God-given time in seeking to prepare himself and others for this great event. Teach the importance of life's duties to those who are wasting their opportunities. Work for the intemperate man and the tobacco user, telling them that no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God, and that there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Show them the good they could do with the money they now spend for that which does them only harm. Tolerance for others' opinions. We must remember that there are a great many different minds in the world, and we cannot expect everyone to see exactly as we do in regard to all questions of diet. Minds do not run in exactly the same channel. I do not eat butter, but there are members of my family who do. It is not placed on my table, but I make no disturbance because some members of my family choose to eat it occasionally. Many of our conscientious brethren have butter on their tables, and I feel under no obligation to force them to do otherwise. These things should never be allowed to cause disturbance among brethren. I cannot see the need of butter where there is an abundance of fruit and of sterilized cream. Those who love and serve God should be allowed to follow their own convictions. We may not feel justified in doing as they do, but we should not allow differences of opinion to create disunion. May the Lord help us to be as firm as a rock to the principles of the law spoken from Sinai, and may He help us not to allow differences of opinion to be a barrier between us and our brethren. Teaching extreme views. It is the desire and plan of Satan to bring in among us those who will go to great extremes, people of narrow minds who are critical and sharp, and very tenacious in holding their own conceptions of what the truth means. They will be exacting and will seek to enforce rigorous duties and go to great lengths in matters of minor importance, while they neglect the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy, and the love of God. Through the work of a few of this class of persons, the whole body of Sabbath keepers will be designated as bigoted, Pharisaical, and fanatical. The work of the truth, because of these workers, will be thought to be unworthy of notice. Good cooking a science. Some are called to what are looked upon as humble duties, it may be to cook. But the science of cooking is not a small matter. The skillful preparation of food is one of the most essential arts, standing above music teaching or dressmaking. By this, I do not mean to discount music teaching or dressmaking, for they are essential. But more important still is the art of preparing food so that it is both healthful and appetizing. This art should be regarded as the most valuable of all the arts, because it is so closely connected with life. It should receive more attention, for in order to make good blood, the system requires good food. The foundation of that which keeps people in health is the medical missionary work of good cooking. Often, health reform is made health deform by the unpalatable preparation of food. The lack of knowledge regarding healthful cookery must be remedied before health reform is a success. Good cooks are few. Many, many mothers need to take lessons in cooking, that they may set before the family well-prepared, neatly served food. Before children take lessons on the organ or the piano, they should be given lessons in cooking. The work of learning to cook need not exclude music, but to learn music is of less importance than to learn how to prepare food that is wholesome and appetizing. Cooking schools. Connected with our sanitariums and schools, there should be cooking schools where instruction is given on the proper preparation of food. In all our schools, there should be those who are fitted to educate the students, both men and women, in the art of cooking. Women especially should learn how to cook. It is a sin to place poorly prepared food on the table because the matter of eating concerns the well-being of the entire system. The Lord desires His people to appreciate the necessity of having food prepared in such a way that it will not make sour stomachs and, in consequence, sour tempers. Let us remember that there is practical religion in a loaf of good bread. A talent of the highest value. Let not the work of cooking be looked upon as a sort of slavery. What would become of those in our world if all who are engaged in cooking should give up their work with the flimsy excuse that it is not sufficiently dignified? Cooking may be regarded as less desirable than some other lines of work, but in reality it is a science above all other sciences. Thus God regards the preparation of healthful food. He places a high estimate on those who do faithful service in preparing wholesome, palatable food. The one who understands the art of properly preparing food and who uses this knowledge is worthy of higher commendation than those engaged in any other line of work. This talent should be regarded as equal in value to 10 talents, for its right use has much to do with keeping the human organism in health. Because so inseparably connected with life and health, it is the most valuable of all gifts. Many will be rescued. The Lord has presented before me that many, many will be rescued from physical, mental, and moral degeneracy through the practical influence of health reform. Health talks will be given. Publications will be multiplied. The principles of health reform will be received with favor, and many will be enlightened. The influences that are associated with health reform will commend it to the judgment of all who want light, and they will advance step by step to receive the special truths for this time.